Well, today I want to continue our series of knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Just gotta love Jesus. Oh man, so good. As you probably tell, I love talking about Jesus. This is amazing that we get the privilege and the honor to get to know Jesus personally and get to share that is an honor with you today. And as I begin, I want to share a little bit of a story, which I'm sure I probably used some part of this before, but it fits well, so I'm going to go with it. And it was when I was saving up money for college. I'm sure for some of the college students watching, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you're either on the other side, you graduated, and you're trying to pay off loans, or you're in the middle, you're trying to save up for the next semester. Well, I was in the middle trying to save up some money for the next semester. I felt like the Lord told me to go to a Bible college, and I was trying to be diligent with saving funds for that. And potentially some high schoolers can relate to this too. You're getting ready to go to college, and you're saving up. Well, I was in that saving up mode, and my priority was really focused on saving money. Saving money. That's what I wanted to do. The only problem was I didn't have a job, and it's kind of hard to get money without a job. But thankfully, two opportunities came up that I was able to look at. One was working at a factory, and I really felt like this could be the opportunity that God wanted me to go to. And another one was becoming a landscaper. And so I was waiting to hear back, and the landscaping position came back before the factory one. I felt like, well, I probably should wait, but I jumped the gun a little bit. So I decided to start working for the landscaping job. And I like to be as transparent as possible because I don't want anyone to think that the person up here speaking or any of us have everything all together. We're all in need of Jesus' grace. Amen? God's grace and God's mercy. So here I was getting ready to go do landscaping. And for those who've done landscaping, that is real hard work. And so I jumped into a 12-hour day, and I did that. And I remember my buddy who got me hired mentioned to the boss, he's like, I know this guy's new, he has no experience, but one thing I can let you know, he's not the kind of guy that will just walk off the job the next day. So you have nothing to worry about. Like, I should go to church with him, so it's all good, you know what I mean? And so my intention, just so you know, was to fully do landscaping all summer. But because I jumped the gun and didn't wait for the other job, the job literally called me back during lunch while I was landscaping. So I picked up the phone call, went into the woods. They're like, hey, we'd love for you to take this position. I really felt God's like, this is the position you're supposed to wait for, but you jumped the gun. So anyways, I had that very awkward conversation the next day with my boss, and I became one of those guys that quit the next day. So I felt absolutely terrible. I just share that with complete honesty because that's not what we should do. Young people, don't be that kind of person, but that's what happened to me on that day. Well, the Lord had plans to bring me to this other job, which I should have waited for. And at that job, I was once again just trying to save money. I was like, I want to go there, work hard, and save money. I had no thought of at all, actually, of trying to be like a bright, shining star and glowing with the gospel for my non-Christian coworkers. I just wanted to go work really hard. And I also learned that this job had unlimited overtime, which is quite unusual. Most jobs don't have that, but unlimited overtime. So I could work 70, 80 hours, and it's paying a half on top of 40. It was amazing. And so I was doing that, and I was making money, but yet there was still something missing. And I'm so thankful because I remember talking to one of my buddies' dads was working there. It had about 1,000 employees, and he was employee number 4, a genius of an engineer. And he came to me, and he loves the Lord, and he's just like, Jim, I really believe that God's brought you here. And he didn't know what my conversations were, but God's brought you here not just to make money, but to share the gospel. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. All right. And I really appreciate it because it was this encouragement that I really needed because my priorities have shifted from let's focus on Jesus and his kingdom to really let's focus on what Jim needs to do and make money. And Jesus was a close number 2, almost number 1. But it was definitely, I had to be honest, he was a number 2. And we all know if it's a number 2, that's still not the right priority list. But I'm so thankful for this engineer because it totally shifted the way I started my day. Instead of starting it with, man, I just need to go to work and work as many hours as I can before collapsing, I decided, you know what, I'm going in on a mission today. Today's a missional day. Today's a purposeful day. Today, Jesus might come back. So I'm just going to live my whole day for Jesus and just go hard after that, as well as be a good employee and work and save and all those kind of things. And let me tell you, that made a huge, huge difference. I'm going to get back to this story in a little bit. But I think we all can relate to. Sometimes we can do a job, or sometimes we can be a student in high school or middle school or in college or grad school, and we're just kind of like spinning wheels, right? We're just going there to do stuff. We love the Lord. We shine brightly maybe when we're at church or maybe with family, but maybe in our place of work or place of study, boy, we fit in so, so well. You can't even tell that we're a Christian. But as we're about to look in this passage, that's actually the complete opposite of what Jesus wants us to do. If we know Christ, he wants us to shine brightly like stars in the universe. So let's look at today's passage as Paul's encouraging the Christians at Philippi to shine brightly for him. So Philippians chapter 2 is where we'll be in verses 12 to 18. Starting in verse 12, Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I'm just going to pause for a moment. And for those who are picking up on this series, Paul's in jail right now for preaching Christ. So he's not able to be present with them, even though he would long to. So I just want to get that out there. Verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to do, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Verse 14, and sometimes you don't even need to expound scripture. You just look at it and you realize you need to change. All right, "Do all things without grumbling." I wish it said do some things or the majority or a minority of things. But it says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Woo, that will preach in this culture today, amen. Preach in my life right now. I know I do that. Lord, help me. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." And here's the purpose for this. "That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that it did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that it is the place that we can build our life upon. And God, I pray that you would speak in us and through us, Lord. As we're reading this passage, I'm sure we can think of a lot of people who we think need to apply this passage today. But Lord, you're talking to us right now. You're talking to me. God, would we receive this passage? And God, would we may be looking more like Jesus through your Holy Spirit, God, as we apply your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to look at a couple things today in this piece from Paul to the church at Philippi. So first, it starts off with the therefore. And if you've done any Bible studies, they often start off, you got to figure out why the therefore is there for, right? And right before last week when I was talking, we were just talking about how the encouragement was that the Philippians would be one mind. They have one purpose, that they would reflect Jesus, that they would know Jesus, that they would imitate from their heart the humility of Christ. And then he gives this powerful punch illustration of showing, not illustration, but reality, I guess, of what Jesus did, that he humbly came, that Jesus came on a rescue mission as a humble servant. And he wasn't just humble just to be here. He was humbled and being open to be obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so that's our baseline. If you're like, what's it therefore looking at? It's looking at a group of people who united, a church, the people that are being honest with their brokenness and honest with God working in them. And like, if there's anything that looks like pride, anything that looks like me, that needs to get rid of. I used to listen to, when I worked at this factory, a comedian named Brian Regan. And he has this thing where he talks about this me monster. And it's this idea of someone in a conversation that makes everything about themselves, right? As I do this, I work this, I got this, I go on vacation here, I do this. Everything's me. And even though we might not do that verbally, if we have to be honest, sometimes our hearts can be doing that. And Paul's saying, no, that's not where we should be as Christ followers. We should be humbly following after Jesus, just the way Jesus gave us that example, even to death on the cross. In order to humbly live for Christ, we need to daily take up our cross and die to self. And now we get to this therefore. We get this one-mind picture. It's not just individual Christians doing their own thing, but the body of Christ working together. And what they're working is, they're working out their salvation with fear and trembling. There's respect that the God who created everything has died for us, and we should live our life in accordance with reverence and awe in community. We're designed for community. I know that's one of the hardest things right now with COVID is the lack of in-person community. But God's designed us that way, so our heart craves that and longs for that. Community with one another and community with our Heavenly Father. Paul says you need to work out essentially what God's working in you. And in Philippians 2, as we back up a little bit, Paul mentioned if you have any encouragement with Christ, any love, any sympathy, I mentioned this last week, but it all flows in the same chapter. If you have this, then be like-minded. We want to work out what God's working in us. And it's really hard to work something out that you're not letting God work in. Are you with me? We need to let God work within us. That way we can work out what God's putting in. It's motivated by His compassion, His grace, His mercy. It's fueled by His Holy Spirit. That we might look together, not individually, but together, we would look like a beautiful bride for Christ. That we would just radiate in holiness. And Paul continues that. Paul says one of the things that should not be happening in this difficult, challenging situation that they're in Philippi, he's saying, it's easy when you get a bunch of people together, and this speaks to everyone, myself, all of us right now, but same in Philippi, it's easy to start complaining or disputing about certain things. And boy, this year and last year has been a lot of complaining everywhere and disputing for a lot of different reasons, right? Paul's saying that we should be not complaining about anything. I want to read it again. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive. I'm just being real. But, oh, Lord, forgive me because I know I've complained. I know I have disputed. And I, in a way, that this is not what God's asking me to do. And I'm sure if we have to be honest, we've all done that before. So if you're in a place that, like, that's your engine, is complaining and disputing things all the time, we got to go back to the cross, right? Lord, I want to crucify myself. I don't want to let you live. I want to walk with humility and honor and love others. God, if I'm just making my position known over your kingdom purposes, forgive me, God. And we have a good God who loves to forgive. So do all things without grumbling or disputing. It says that you may be blameless and innocent. And it's really hitting on this idea that you would be whole in the sense of who you are. There wouldn't be like some type of integrity gap or lap of any kind. Like have you ever met someone that will say one thing and then do another? We usually say that's someone who lacks integrity or someone that's a hypocrite, right? You're one way on this day, and then the next day you're doing the opposite thing. But the idea is that blameless and innocent, that we would, as children of God, sons and daughters of the King, that we would live a life that would be full of holiness, that there wouldn't be this idea of mixing things that were unholy with holy and then just living that life. The picture here is almost like one of the commentaries I was reading was like taking wine and the idea of watering it down in a sense, so that way it's not necessarily the full product, but it kind of looks like it, but it lacks integrity. It's not consistent throughout. As Christ followers, we want to be consistent throughout. In order to do that, it's a daily conversation with the Lord. Like Leah was saying, having that time of prayer, kind of like with the basketball all the time, we need to have those conversations, let Christ work in us and then through us, that we would be blameless and innocent. Because if we have to be honest, none of us can do this on our own. We want to look more like Christ. And when we do that, it says we'll be children of God without any blemish in a very difficult, says, crooked and twisted generation. This is like 2,000 years ago. And even today, boy, does the gospel still preach, right? It's like the people need Jesus. There's a lot of brokenness, a lot of hate, anger. It's ultimately sin that's fueling this. People need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It says if we do this, we'll end up shining like lights, or another translation will say like stars in the universe. I just love that picture. You ever go outside at night, especially up here, if you happen to be watching this, you live in the North Country or you're a college student, boy, the stars up here are awesome. Right? We're not in a city. There's not a lot of light pollution or anything. So you're able just to look up and you can see gorgeous stars just blazing in the night sky. And that's what Jesus is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to let him work within us and then transform us and get rid of the complaining or the grumbling or the disputing or the discord or the pride or all that. Get rid of all those things. That way when people look at us, they see Christ, and Christ radiates so brightly that when Christ is in you, the hope of glory, it shines like a star. It's beautiful. It's powerful. Now, here's the thing. We can shine like a star. If you know Christ in you, then you are a light to this world. But sometimes we can be tempted to hide our lights, right? tempted to just fit in. So we have this light, we have this hope of knowing Christ, but then, and sometimes, honestly, sometimes it can be at the family. I've heard this switch sometimes, but sometimes when it comes to our family, you can't even tell there's a light within us. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe with the family, like I shine brightly at home, but when I go to work, oh man, I try to hide this light. I don't want anyone to see this light because I don't want any people being upset. I don't want anybody to say something. I don't want anybody to be, you know, saying anything weird or whatever American version of persecution looks like. In other countries, you typically get beaten up, tortured, or murdered. Here, maybe someone might send you a bad email or maybe a job might be lost. But compared to our brothers and sisters around the world, it really isn't that extreme compared to what others have faced for being a light. But for whatever reason, and maybe one of the biggest reasons is fear. We just want to hide in. We just want to fit in. We just want to fit in and get a paycheck. Like I was when I was going to the factory. I wanted to fit in and get a paycheck. I didn't want to cause a scene. I didn't want to shine. I just wanted to be like taking a little light, put it under a bushel. I just didn't want anyone to see the differences Christ was making in me. Because maybe there might be a conversation I wasn't prepped for or a question. Or maybe someone wants to know the Lord, but I'd be too overwhelmed to figure out how to do that. So I'll just, whatever reason, we like to hide that light sometimes. Or maybe you're a student, you're like, I just want to fit into my classes and I want to get good grades, you know. Or I want to be at home and just want to have a lot of fun. But Jesus is calling us to actually not fit in. He's calling us to shine brightly, that we would illuminate the room, so to speak, that we would be in. That when people look at you, and they would see Christ in me. Now, I want to pause for a moment. When people look at you, what do they see? They see Christ? Are you radiating brightly for the kingdom? Or is there things inside that you're like, God, I got some real heart issues. I really got to get some, you know, some of this needs to go, that you would shine brightly. And if you are shining brightly, are you shining brightly everywhere? I know the answer to that is like, I hope so. I hope you can. But if you have to be honest, sometimes we like to choose where we shine brightly for God, and in other places, we just want to fit in, keep it cozy, and keep it comfy, but not keep it Christ-focused. If you're at all in those places, as you're thinking, this is a great opportunity to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I decided for whatever reason, maybe it's fear, maybe it's something else, to limit your light shining in me. Our world so desperately needs hope. If you know Christ, the hope of glory is inside you. People need to see that, both in tangible expressions of the ways we love and serve, but also in what we say. Let us shine brightly for God. When I was working at this factory, I got to work with night vision goggles, which were really fun. And this is something I didn't know at all. Some of you might already know this, but I always thought night vision goggles could work at night at any time. I'm like, that seems like why you buy night vision goggles, right? You just want to be able to see at night. But then one of the engineers took me to like these really cool long rooms they had in this factory. And at the end of this long room, there was a tiny little light. Like if you could think like maybe like an LED kind of like light. It was super far down. I don't know if it was like 100 feet. It was really far. And the engineer was saying, do you know that these night vision goggles won't work if that little light is off? And I was shocked because I was like, no, night vision goggles obviously illuminate light. And I was like, oh, right. It's funny because you might already know this, but night vision goggles will not work if there's no light to illuminate. They won't work at all. So when they turn off the light and it's completely black, the night vision goggles did nothing. It only can illuminate a source of light from somewhere. That's why typically at night, if you have the moon or like light pollution or something, you'll be able to see light somewhere. It can illuminate that. As Christ followers, we want to make sure we're not hiding our light, because people are desperately looking for light, whether they want to be honest about it or not. In Scripture, we see that our Heavenly Father is drawing people to Himself. And let us be lighthouses, so to speak, that can direct people to Christ. People are looking for light. Let's not hide it as they're desperately searching for hope. We want to do all things without grumbling and disputing, and we want to shine brightly. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of grumbling going on and a lot of disputing. There's a group of people that were doing this, actually. You might go there already in your mind. But then the Israelites, they oftentimes were complaining as a whole, either to Moses primarily or to Moses about God or vice versa. But I was looking at one kind of like study on the Israelites, and one person said that 14 different times they found the Israelites complaining in a pretty public kind of way. Now, you might remember God took them out of Egypt, right? They were in slavery in Egypt, just to make that very clear. They were slaves in Egypt. God freed the slaves. He loves setting people free. God uses Moses. But there's complaining going all the time. You might remember when they're out in the wilderness for 40 years, which is a really long time. They started complaining that they wish they were back in Egypt having fish from the Nile. God was providing for them manna that came every day. He would also provide for them quail. And he also provide for them water directly out of rocks. He's doing miracle after miracle to provide. But oftentimes, their hearts was one to go quickly to complaining. Even when they got near the promised land where they're supposed to go, and they sent some spies out there to report, 12 of them, only two came back with a good report. The other 10 complained about how big the giants were, how big the people were, how big the fortified cities were. Only two of them were like, hey, there's something good happening. Check out these grapes. Check out what's there. They only could see the negative. And I love, as I was studying this a little bit this past week, that sometimes we can do this too with the Israelites, but one of the biggest things the Israelites fell into a trap is they forgot what God has done before, right? So they're in a moment, and instead of remembering, oh, remember how God got us out of Egypt with the 10 plagues? Yeah, I remember that. Remember we're at the Red Sea and we're about to be killed with a bunch of chariots coming at us, and then he split the sea? Oh, yeah, yeah. Got across, and then we started singing a new song. Yeah, I remember that. They oftentimes would have what some people call spiritual amnesia. They would forget what God has done before. And when we forget what God has done before, we can so quickly go to a place of complaining, right? Grumbling, disputing, instead of remembering what God has done before. The same God that did that miracle back then in your life is the same God that's loving you right now and caring for you. And no matter how difficult or hard the situation is, I'm not belittling them at all. I'm just trying to magnify how great our God is, that God's got you in this moment. He's going to be with you. So even if the reports come back poor, unfavorable, like the Israelites looking at the promised land, know that God is still with you. He's still for you. If we can't find anything in the present to be thankful for, then let's dig up some things from the past as a way to glorify God. A couple of questions as I'll be wrapping up in a little bit when it comes to this place of grumbling or disputing, because honestly, that does not allow us to shine beautifully for God the way we should. But what has God done for you in the past? And take a moment. What has God done for you in the past? I know right now we're thinking of a lot of different things and struggles, and there's a lot of difficult things right now in our world today. But what has God done for you in the past? What are you thankful for in the present? God's so good. And it might not be anything circumstantial. Oftentimes it's not. Maybe there's some blessing, but those can come and go. Think about God. What are some things you're thankful for? And then what are you looking forward to in the future? For me, I've been reading a lot of my personal times in the morning has been in Revelation. So I've been like locked in on the future. Boy, if you want to get excited and confused, read Revelation. There's a lot of things. I'm like, I'm tracking with you, but it's a vision. Some things I'm like, all right, I don't know exactly what this means yet, but when it happens, it will all make sense, I'm sure. But the big picture is Jesus is king. He's glorified. If you know Christ, you're going to spend in heaven and spend eternity with heaven forever, which is amazing. No more tear, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin. You won't even need the sun, it says, because for however this is going to work, Jesus is so bright that he's just going to illuminate the whole place. Doesn't that sound amazing? That sounds fantastic. I'm just like, wow. So God, you worked miracles in the past in my life. If you know Christ, there's a miracle right there, that God loved you so much that he redeemed you as a sinner. Just camp on that all day. God, you're still with me in the present. God, you promised to be with me in the future. And the future with Christ only gets brighter. Amen? Amen? It only gets brighter, right? Because not even death itself is necessarily a stopping place. That's actually the start of our life forever with our Lord and Savior. It only gets better. Man, there's so much to look forward to. But we're not in heaven yet. But Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, we're not going to be looking to share the gospel with everybody. You know why? Because that's how they're already there, right? We're going to be praising Jesus and having a great time. It's going to be awesome. But until we're there, there's still a whole lot of people, both in families, friend groups, roommates, coworkers, folks in this community, on the campuses, and different countries around the world that have yet to hear the gospel. We won't be sharing the gospel in heaven. with those who don't believe, because those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll already be there. So I hope that would motivate all of us, myself included, to think, Lord, would I not waste one day on this planet without looking at least starting in prayer, Lord, how can I be a light for you today? How can I pray for my coworkers today? How can I pray for my family? How can I pray for people I see at Walmart or Aldi's or Price Shopper or Save a Lot, wherever you're shopping, God? How can I be on mission for you? Because in heaven, that's one thing I won't be doing in the sense of just sharing Jesus with those who don't know Christ yet. God, would I not waste my life on anything less than what you call me to? Jesus said it this way. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew 5, 14 to 16. That's what Jesus is inviting us to do as a church, as the people, to shine brightly. And we don't have to wait till we're all meeting together on a Sunday to make that happen. That's actually just supposed to be like a go get them team and let's celebrate people coming to the Lord kind of time and care for each other. The most exciting thing actually is how we're living for Jesus on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. But if we're just shooting for a 60-minute online service, we're missing the big picture of living missionally for Christ as stars in the universe. I want to finish with this story. I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time. Someone who I thought just like, wow, what a powerful example of shining brightly in such difficult times was I was reading a little bit about Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy. I'm going to move over this way so you can see her. Yeah, there we go, Corrie Ten Boom. And some of you have read The Hiding Place, a book, but I wanted to read a little bit just to share and use her as an example. And we can keep this photo up a little bit until I get to the next part. So Corrie and her sister Betsy Ten Boom were courageous, compassionate Dutch Christians who helped harbor Jews from the Nazis and Holland during World War II. After the sisters were arrested for doing so, they were imprisoned at Ravensbrück, a German concentration camp. And we can bring up the next picture. I'll just keep talking. So I want to read a little bit about their circumstances. In their barracks, they were shown to a series of massive square platforms stacked three levels high, very similar to this one, and placed so close together that people had to walk single file to pass between them. Rancid straw was scattered over the platforms, which served as communal beds for hundreds of women. Corrie and Betsy found that they could not sit upright on their platform without hitting their heads on the deck above them. They lay back, struggling against nausea that swept over them from the reeking straw. Can we just take down the picture at this time? So you can imagine, it's probably pretty hard not to complain and dispute in that situation, right? Imagine being in a concentration camp. I can't even imagine. But being in a place like that, I think complaining would be so easy, right? You're being terribly mistreated. People are being killed. Dignity is being stripped away, literally. But here's Corrie and Betsy with a bunch of women, right? And they were giving into the complaining, which is so easy because it's terrible. They're in a concentration camp. But Corey's like, or Betsy was asking Corrie, what should we do in this moment? What should we do? She's like, well, let's go to Scripture. I just love how she just loved the Word and just went right to the Word. So Corrie checked to make sure there's no guards nearby, and then she drew from a pouch a small Bible that she managed to smuggle into the concentration camp. We weren't allowed to have Bibles, but she was able to bring it in. And this is where she went to kind of give hope and purpose and focus to the ladies in this barracks. She went to 1 Thessalonians. She said that finding the passage in the feeble light, she read this. Here it is. This is what we're supposed to be doing while we're in a concentration camp. Not knowing how long we'll be in here, whether we'll die or Christ will come back. This is what we're going to be about. It says, comfort the frightened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Then her sister Betsy was like, how are we supposed to be thankful? We're in a concentration camp. This is terrible. And Corrie, or Betsy said that to Corrie, and Corey's like, well, we could start somewhere. And they started being thankful just for anything. And in that barracks, there was fleas everywhere. So they just started thanking God for the fleas. They didn't even know what to do with that. But they're trying to cultivate an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. It was interesting because later on, if you know the story, I just absolutely love it. But later on, they were able to have a lot of times of reading scripture and prayer. For some reason, the soldiers would not come in and interrupt what they were doing when they were talking about God, which was very uncommon. And it was only later that one of the sisters overheard some of the soldiers that said, because there's so many fleas in that barracks, we will not patrol that barracks. We will not go inside. And because of that, they got to spend hours in the Word, hours in prayer. What they were thanking God for was the fleas, turned out to be a real answer to prayer. And for those of us watching right now, watching the recording, I know it's not an easy time. We all can agree with that. But where is God wanting you to be thankful for this morning? Where can we rejoice in all circumstances? Where can we pray without ceasing? How can we shine brightly for the kingdom of God? Because God's kingdom is not based on circumstances. It's based on His provision and His love and His hope. So as we wrap up, I'm going to close in prayer. We have a time to respond and praise and worship. We get to glorify our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You stepped into darkness. God, You were the light that penetrated the darkness. That You came and You were the example of what it looked like to be among darkness, but yet radiate brightly like a star in the universe, God. I think in Revelations, it calls You the morning star. God, You are the example. And Lord, as we're just wrapping up, God, I want to start with you. Forgive me, God, when there's places where I like to try to fit in instead of shine brightly for You. And for those watching, there's areas you can think of. Feel free to ask the Lord for forgiveness. He forgives so freely. This could be a whole new day of redemption. Loads could be lifted off your shoulders, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking. Lord, I pray that together with my brothers and sisters who are watching right now, that we could shine brightly for You. God, when it gets darker, we need even a brighter light. And God, would Your light shine within us? Would we not hide it? God, I pray that even this week, we'd have opportunities to share the gospel, whether that's loving someone in need, literally sharing a testimony, getting out of our comfort zone, and getting into the God zone of just sharing the love with someone that we have yet to know for eternity. God, You are on a great plan of redemption. And Lord, I pray that we would know that internally, but that we can live that out this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.